Coming up on this week's episode of the Ask Women podcast, we have Justin, who is back in studio, and I get mad at him for not emailing me once again. But this week, he makes a firm commitment to email me and actually start making this process go a lot faster. We also have Sarah and Jason back in studio, the amazing YouTube influencers. Is that, I don't even know if that's the right way to say it, but they're awesome. They're wonderful. We do a lot of overanalyze this, so keep listening to this episode. Welcome to the Ask Women podcast. We are doing another episode of Help a Brother Out, and we have Justin back in studio with us.
Cool.
Yay.
How's it going?
I love it. Yeah, Justin's here. And then we have Sarah and Jason Horton are sticking around. The YouTube phenomenons, I guess. YouTube stars and influencers. They are helping us on the show today for Justin. Both of them don't really know anything about you. They know what they see, and I would love to hear their first impressions. But I want to have a recap from you first about how things have been going, what's been going on.
I haven't been moving as far forward as I would have liked.
Okay. I haven't been getting emails from you. This is the easiest thing to do.
I'm good at procrastinating. I think I have
obviously
a PhD.
I'm really good at that, too.
Well, it's not benefiting either of you, so.
This is true.
So we have to change that.
Yes.
And how do we do that?
I'm not sure.
Well, what do you need? What are you telling yourself? Like, what, you're coming in here, which is amazing. You are participating. What is it after you leave here? Like, what stops you from writing me an email? What stops you from reaching out? What stops you?
I always think to myself, like, oh, I need to email Marnie. This needs, you know, that just happened. I should email Marnie about this. And then I think, oh, well, she's busy.
Right.
I'm
all
not
these
good
things that you're making up.
Yes.
You know nothing about how busy I am. I'm like literally sitting at home waiting to get emails.
Staring at the phone.
I am. Like, honest, there's a big portion of my day. I'm lucky. I have hired a lot of people now, and they help me with a lot of stuff that was keeping me busy before. But I always have time for emailing. That is the most important part of my day. It's the first thing that I do when I open up my computer in the morning. I answer every message that I get to my special email address from people who purchase my products. I answer every email from people who are in my email coaching program. And that's a couple of hundred people. And I love it. I love doing all of it. But I would say like around 3:30, my day's pretty slow. Like, that, you know, I'm doing other things during that time period. So just letting you know, I am not busy. So that's you making that up in your head. And I keep asking you. I'm telling you clearly, like, what I want. I want you to email me on a daily basis if you want to.
Okay.
Like, I want to hear from you because that's how we make things happen. So listen to the words I'm saying and stop telling yourself that you're bothering me. I'll tell you when you're bothering me. I do that to several clients of mine where I'm like, you're emailing me too much. Or please condense your email. It's too long. Like, I am very clear on what I'm expecting, and I have my boundaries. So I haven't put that up with you. If anything, I'm like, I'm throwing my boundaries down. Okay. So I'm trying to like drill that home for you that you're not bothering me at all.
And I appreciate that.
Okay. But are you hearing it?
Yes, I'm hearing it.
Okay, cool.
And I'm feeling the wiggles, you know, like, and I'm embarrassed that I haven't been emailing you anymore.
Don't be embarrassed. Yeah. Just change it.
Okay.
Okay, so moving forward, you're going to be emailing me, and I'm going to hear from you.
Yes.
Okay, so continue telling me about what's been going on.
So I met a young lady on Bumble.
Okay.
And
Bumble, for anybody who doesn't know, is the dating app that is, it's where women are in charge, right? So
yeah, they have to send the first, once you match on Tinder, you can't just message them. You have to wait for the girl to actually send a message.
Right, which is amazing. That takes a lot of pressure off of people. Right, you don't get as many matches apparently.
No,
but it's great. It is still superficial because it's going to be based on looks and what you write in your profile. But you don't have to make that first approach. You just have to respond. So it is kind of it's a nice space for many women, a nice space for many men as
mm-hmm.
well.
And the you know, actually took her out to dinner on Sunday. Yeah, this last Sunday. And again, I felt like I was being boring, and no connection was ensuing. If that, we talked about that before. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, fill them in.
Okay, so I was married for a long time, got divorced, and now I'm trying to get back into the dating, and it's not going as well as I'd hoped it would.
Okay. So why do you think your conversation is boring? Were you bored in what you were talking about, or were you bored with her responses?
No, her responses were fine, and I think we had a really good conversation, but there was no, it was just more like friendly banter. There was no moving anything forward, if that makes any sense.
What does moving forward mean?
So I show up, never seen her before, and she comes up and gives me a hug right away, but then she sits down on the table. And it's like a four-person table, and she sits at the farthest spot away from me. And then during the entire dinner, we're talking, and none of the, you know, she laughs a couple times, but none of the, you know, no touching, no. It was very guarded, and it didn't change at all.
Were you very guarded?
I was trying to do the body language, opening up, but I kept on feeling myself slouching, and at the same time. You know, I'm like, obviously no one can see me.
Right. Hopefully. We can see you.
I would straighten up, and then I would slouch a little. And then I'd straighten up, and then I'd slouch a little. And yeah. I kept on doing that. I kept on feeling myself do that throughout the night. Mm-hmm. But I feel like we had a good conversation. I text her the next day, and radio silence for a whole entire day. Mm-hmm. She finally texted me back yesterday. It felt like forever. I thought that it was like, you know, the fade out. Never going to text me again.
Right.
She finally texted me, and then we had a nice little conversation last night. Haven't texted her today because I was at work earlier, and then
I was
here.
How did you finish the date?
Just a hug. And yeah, again, it was...
It all sounds stiff to me, only because I'm looking at your body language right now and what you're even... I like that you do have the open body language, but it still seems stiff because you are stiff.
Yes.
So I'm guessing that is also the guy that was on...
A little bit, yeah, definitely.
Okay. Well, actually, Jason, I want you to speak to this. Like, how can we help Justin loosen up?
Well, I think first date, you know, the pressure of, like, a first date... Like, there's only one first date... So it will never be as awkward. Like, you're not going to have an awesome – well, I mean, you can have a totally awesome first date, and the second date can kind of fizzle out theoretically. But statistically, the first dates are – you know what I mean? You go in there with expectations, and you're just like, oh, what if I – you know, what if this doesn't work out? Not what if it's going to work out. What if it doesn't work out? And you put a lot of pressure on yourself, and I think that goes for everybody. So I think it's – you know, it's – you know, to be fair to yourself, that's okay. I mean, I think – I don't know. I like talking about what I'm passionate about, and I become less stiff. If I lied and be like, I love politics. Oh, I can't wait to go on a date so we can talk about politics. I might really like stiffen up because I really don't know enough about politics to be comfortable emotionally, mentally, and physically to talk about it. So I might be a little more rigid going, oh, no, she knows I don't know anything about politics.
Right.
But if I talk about what I'm passionate about, it just
loosens
kind of
you up.
It just – and, you know – but you don't want to be talking about, you know, everything about you all day, every day, and not. But I think if she sees you like that, and you're like, "Oh, he's passionate. He's into something." I don't know if I know much about it, but it might. She might kind of like a mirroring. You ever do like a mirroring in like an acting class or improv? It's like
you have to lead by example.
Yeah, I think it might be a chain reaction or something like that. It's just a thought.
Yeah, Sarah, what do you think?
I'm not really sure because. I've started to realize more and more that things aren't always what they seem, you know, and I know sometimes as a woman, I don't want to text back too quickly because, you know, you got to play that little, you know, hard to get game. So there's been plenty of times where
Why do you do that to us?
Well, you know, guys have done that to me too, and they've admitted to it. Yeah. I'm like, and I've told like guy I dated, I was like, look, we can just be real with each other. We don't have to play this game anymore. Like, I like you, you like me, you know, but I could be very blunt sometimes, but things aren't always what they seem.
From hearing what Justin has described for the date and what he's saying is a concern for him that he's not really able to loosen up as much as he'd like to.
Well, I think you're on your way because you are realizing your body language and you are trying to make a note of it and trying to correct it. And that's not something that's going to be fixed overnight. So I think with time, you're going to get better at that.
Yeah.
But,
No, I think these are
all
good things.
If she wasn't interested, she would not write back at all. And then you.
Well, what did she write back? Read it.
Sup and pizza emoji. That's my go-to.
Is it?
Oh, the girls love it.
Oh, that's actually really cute.
Thumbs
I like
up.
That.
She said how she was sick and sorry for the late response, and then it was good meeting you, and then in our talking beforehand, I was like, yeah, this is my only day off for the last 2 weeks. And so she was like, and thank you for sharing your precious day off with me. Hope you don't have to wait too long to get another one. And then we had a little, a little conversation.
Well, let me hear it.
And then I said, no problem. Sorry to hear you're not feeling well, because she said she was sick. Hopefully you'll be feeling better by my next day off. Did you apply to the Metro yet? Because she actually said something about wanting to work for the Metro lines.
Yeah.
And then she said how she has to take meds yesterday and today, and she's super drowsy. So I'm not going at my usual speed. I hope to apply to the Metro
spot soon.
No, this
sounds like sexy that she's sending back to you. She's totally
exactly.
trying to turn you on.
Exactly.
I'm just saying that just sounds like polite conversation from her, especially when she started, I'm a little sick. If you had a good date with somebody, you write back to them and you don't want them to. I mean, I think people will say, I have been sick, but like.
You probably try to avoid that, if anything.
Yeah, yeah, you try to avoid. If you like a guy, at least. Okay, if I like a guy, I don't want him to picture me being sick. I still want to, if I'm trying to impress him, I want him to think I don't get sick.
Super
I don't poop
human.
I don't fart. I don't do any of that stuff. Like, I'm kind of perfection. So when I start to put little things like that into my messages, it shows that there's no concern for somebody being unattracted. And I'm not saying that's in all cases. Some women will just say, yeah, I was sick, I'm sorry, I couldn't get back to you. But I would say by the other messages that she's sending, she's being polite and nice, but I don't think that there's interest there. And I don't think you're creating more interest either to show her that she would get something different on a second date. So what I'm seeing is that there's not really very much fun coming out of you. And I don't think you're enjoying yourself. Like, I just see like tightness. I know that now nobody can see what I'm doing, but like it just looks stiff. Like, it sounds like a stiff date, and it like, you
know, he's got a V-neck. He's looking pretty casual to me. I don't know.
No, but I'm saying, like, just even like, I haven't, like, he's laughing now, but I'm like, even there's not that there has to be animation in your facial expressions, but I don't even know how to phrase this. I'm not feeling you, and I don't know. If I'm sure you're holding back even more, and you're probably having nice conversation, you're exchanging interesting facts. I'm sure we talked about data points.
Yeah,
like, I'm sure you're giving her lots of data points, but I don't think there's anything that's like hitting home for the women that you're talking to and kind of showing them what you're about. So I love what Jason had said about, like, you know, calling on a couple of topics that really excite you or that you're passionate about. And
you don't have to reach for any of the information just all right there, because you're talking about, you know, people that talk about something that I watch, you know, if you watch a TED talk or something, like, I don't even care what you're talking about. But the fact that you're so passionate talking about it, like, I'm interested in watching it. And I think it's that kind of the authority. You have like an authority over some kind of information, which you listen, that's why you listen to a podcast. Or you listen to the show, whatever reason. It's an attractive quality.
Yeah. And I think if you can get more comfortable with that, and I think, like, honestly, I think that the first barrier can just be emailing with me. Because I think getting over that hump of assuming you're bothering somebody for talking to them and breaking that barrier down, I think then you can apply it to other areas of your life. Because I'm guessing in your head you're thinking, I kind of find this interesting, but you won't, so I'm not going to bring it up. Or I could say this to you, but you're not going to care about what I'm either subconsciously or consciously. I know that you're self-editing constantly, and you're taking out all of the humanness from what you're putting out to a woman. And therefore, you're left with this like robotic shell who's just spitting out data points, which is fine if people want to date a robot, but most people don't want to date a robot unless they're a robot as well. But I just don't think that that's going to spark anything for you.
Yeah.
So what if you were to go on a date and how would it look if you just said anything that came into your head and you didn't edit?
I have no idea. I'm honestly, I'm constantly
editing. You're doing it right now.
Even
I can
in this
hear
conversation
you.
Right now, I'm constantly doing it.
Okay.
Like on Sunday, I specifically didn't start. See, I started talking about karaoke. Now it's been 15 minutes. So I specifically didn't want to talk about karaoke because I was like, that's going to be, you know, a bridge too far because people don't, you know, because I do it way too much.
But how do you know? Okay, my husband speaks in these terms as well, where I'll say something that I want to do, and he's like, that's crazy. The rest of the population doesn't think that way. I'm like, have you, like, polled the rest of the population? Do you know that these people think? Like, how do you people know about what everybody else in the world is thinking? Like, how do you know that karaoke is too far? I find that interesting. I love karaoke. I would find that
interesting. What are your songs? What are your go-to songs?
Sex and Candy, Marcy's Playground.
Oh, you're
Santeria.
That is awesome.
Those are the two main ones. Folsom Prison, Johnny Cash. There's a song.
Damn, you like karaoke. Cool. So start talking about it.
See, that's what I would be. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I would be ready to. Like, if a girl, whoever was just like, oh, I do karaoke, I'd be like, you're so. I'm not a huge karaoke person.
Me neither.
But I know enough about it to be like, oh, my Total Eclipse of the Heart is my jam, or Billy Joel. You know what I mean? And the girl's like, ew, you're old.
Sarah's like, I want to say my song. What's my song?
Yeah. I just want to say, actually, went on the date I was talking about last week with this guy, and the bar we were at, they had karaoke. I didn't want to get up and do it. I was too shy. He got up there and sang Big Papa, and he was so passionate about it and has. I was like, oh my God, I'm in love. Like,
because he's willing to take a risk.
It was so fun. And he wanted to make me laugh, and it was very entertaining and stuff like that. And
so you
I
have three
feel,
people here telling you that karaoke is interesting, yet you are still telling yourself that it's not interesting to
I feel
people.
Like he's listening up just talking about that.
Yes, because you're interested in it.
Yeah, like, yeah. I solved the problem. I did it. Boom.
You did. Boom. Karaoke right there. But but what I this is the thing where I kind of wish that I was like a psychoanalysis expert. I wish I knew where this was coming from. Like, where is it coming from? You, that did your mom tell you, like, don't talk about this, nobody wants to talk, like, where is it from? Did your wife say it to you?
Probably. Yeah.
What did
my
she
ex,
say
my ex-wife? Yeah.
What'd she tell you? Shut up, you're boring.
In yeah, things along those lines.
What did she say?
That's weird, you know, don't be weird.
Yeah, that's why she's your ex-wife, because she doesn't see you the same way that you see yourself. Doesn't mean that it's bad, it means that it's just not her. You weren't a good match for each other. She couldn't respect who you were, even if she was different.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what else would she say to you?
I'm drawing a blank right now. I'm sorry.
Okay. No, my husband okay. My husband thinks I am the weirdest person in the entire world, but that's what he likes about me. He likes that I think differently. It scares him a lot of the time, the way that my brain works, but it excites him too. So he's not the same as me, but he totally respects and values, even though it makes him uncomfortable and slightly angry sometimes. he likes it. I don't get put down for thinking weirdly or differently or positively or whatever it is. I mean, you know, we have arguments sometimes, so I'm sure there's certain times where he's not saying the most favorable things about the way that I think. But overall, he reminds me that he likes how my brain works, and vice versa for him. So I'm not saying that this is like a horrible thing that your wife did, but mm-hmm. I'm just telling you that that person who wasn't right for you because she's not your wife anymore is the person you're listening to, somebody who you're putting a lot of value mm-hmm. into.
It was a, you know, it was, I like to joke, it was three presidents. I mean,
it was a long time.
It was a long time.
So it's a long time for reprogramming.
Yeah.
Okay, so you need more examples. And in order to get those examples, you have to go back to who you were before and start sharing these things. So I wish we could give you an exercise. Maybe collectively we can come up with an exercise based on what we've heard. So something from improv. Maybe, like, if there was a way that if you're on a date and karaoke comes to mind, or something like stupid that you, as soon as you say to yourself, don't say that, if you just spit it out of your mouth, like, is there something that would help you to combat this voice that's telling you to shut up, whatever you're saying is weird or stupid or nobody's going to like you?
Again, nothing comes to mind. And I'm be honest, I'm not even sure. There's no voice in my head saying, don't say that. It's just, I'm always pausing and causing things to come out like they are right now when right. I'm nervous or when things are, you know, not normal for me.
Okay. So in those pauses, is there something that you can say to yourself that motivates you?
I'm not sure.
You're not sure. Okay. Well, Sarah and Jason, what are you guys hearing? Is there something?
Oh, I'm just back to the acting thing.
Yeah.
I was thinking maybe substitution, you know, like don't think of it as this first date. Think of it as someone you've known for a while, or, you know, maybe in a way imagine them as someone else that you're more comfortable with and just take it from there so you could feel a little more, you know. Does that make sense? I don't know if that.
Not really.
So basically, like, instead of just being so self-conscious about yourself because you're afraid of her judging you, just think of it as, you know, an old friend. You know, and you're just catching up or whatever.
Yeah.
So
I mean, if you could think of a different way. But I think, I'm guessing you do this with other people. It's well that you're comfortable with.
I think so.
So it's not just people that, like, you're having a first interaction with or you're putting a lot of pressure on your interaction. I'm guessing, like, at work you do this.
It's, yeah, because I want to do the things, I want to do things right, I guess. And that's definitely part of it. Yeah.
Okay. Oh my God, I have an exercise for this, but I cannot remember what it was. It's something that I actually went through because that was a huge thing for me too. I want to do it right, so I'm not going to do it if I can't do it right. And I wouldn't self-edit, but I used to think very similarly to that. I'm trying to think of the exercise that I was given at that time. Well, I there is this one thing that really helped me. It's called identifying your gremlin. Have I ever talked to you about that?
Not that I remember, no.
Okay, so maybe this will help. Because it's really all about noticing. Like, the first step is noticing. And I talk about this all the time. So I was given this assignment to notice my gremlin. And your gremlin is like, it's this voice, whatever, or maybe it's not a voice for you, but it's something else. It's like this buzzing thing that is in your subconscious that's really there to protect you, like your parents. It's just saying, like, don't go approach this person. You might get your heart broken. Like, it's the person, it's that thing that's saying, don't do this because something bad may happen. So it's not like a negative gremlin, but it's this reoccurring thing that's being said to you that you're starting to believe because this superior being that you're picturing is telling you it's wrong, you're not good enough, you're not going to say it right, whatever it is. So the exercise is to try to visualize what your gremlin looks like when it's saying these things to you. So first you have to figure out what it's saying to you, and you just said you're not going to do it right, or that's not right if you say it that way. So that's mm-hmm. the phrase that's being repeated to you over and over again, whether you can hear it, you can, whatever it is, you're telling yourself. So that's the phrase. So the assignment is, before you go to bed, you tell yourself, I'm going to see my gremlin tomorrow. And I know this sounds like really hokey and wacky and weird. I did this and I was like, fuck that. Like, I don't want to see a gremlin in my house. And I said, I'm going to see my gremlin tomorrow. And it's going to say to me, oh, you're not good enough. That's what my gremlin says to me. And so I was brushing my teeth the next morning and I swear I looked on my counter because I still had it in my head that I'm going to see my gremlin. I kept saying it to myself and I saw my gremlin and it looked like, you know, on the show Friends, Estelle, the agent who, like, smoked cigarettes, and it was like this little, like, weird gremlin being like, eh, you're not good enough. It was like this stupid little munchkin thing that I could see for a split second, made me laugh, and then I'm like, this is the thing? This is the thing that is telling me and stopping me from doing anything. What the hell does this thing know? Smoking cigarettes, so she obviously doesn't know about health, so why would she tell me that I'm not good enough or whatever? Anyway. Once you attach a visual, then you can start noticing when you're doing it, attaching the visual to that statement that you're telling yourself. And you can start smiling about it. You can tap that little gremlin on the head and say, like, shut up for a second. Like, I don't need to do it right. Or I am doing it right because I'm just being me. Whatever it is, those are the baby steps to start eliminating it. And I'm sure that if you were to go to a therapist, I'm sure there's many other ways that they can help you do that. That is not my expertise, but that is something that really helps me. And it's something that's a part of a couple of my programs, How to Become a Man Women Want and The Insider. And thousands of people have used those programs and have gone through noticing their gremlin and identifying their gremlin. And that's been very helpful for them. So it could be something that could be very helpful for you as well. But you got to do it and you have to make an effort to do it and not feel like that's not the right thing or that's embarrassing or whatever it is. And it may take 4 days or 5 days or 3 weeks, whatever it is. You just have to dedicate yourself to identifying that thing that is stopping you from being comfortable and just being like an open, loose person, because you're not going to make connections on dates if you're not allowing yourself to actually connect. You're allowing the edited, like, bland, filtered version of yourself to connect, right? This version that doesn't really say anything is afraid to speak your opinion. It's like blandness at the end. Once you edit all that good stuff out, there's mm-hmm. no personality that's part of it.
Yeah.
So she gets like a shell, and that's not really fair to her either.
No.
I mean, she's invested her time on Bumble. She should get a good date at the very end of it. So is that something that resonates with you that you think you can do?
It definitely resonates. I'm going to try and do it.
Okay.
I think I can, but it's, you know, it's harder than it, you know, harder than it sounds.
Is it? How do you know?
It just in going through this process with you in the last, you know.
But is it harder than it sounds?
No.
It's not. You don't know.
Yeah.
Because you haven't really tried it yet. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's not harder than it sounds. It sounds pretty damn easy. You're just making it harder by saying it's not right or fighting against it or coming up with all these false beliefs that get in the way of success. Yep. So tell your ex-wife to go fuck herself. You're not weird. You're awesome. And start showing that to other people. So talk about karaoke. Talk about Dr. Pepper. Talk about...
I love those things too.
See? Exactly. Oh. Diet Dr. Pepper. That's his weird drink order. Very interesting. Like,
how's that weird though?
Because it's like, it's unique. I think it's cool. But I'm just saying these are good things. Like, those aren't weird things. Those are interesting things. And somebody else may find them interesting as well. Like, if you were to come out on a first date and say, like, I really like sniffing the inside between a girl's toes, like, after she's come back from the gym, like, that's weird. But some girl could be like, damn, and, like, take her shoe off and stick her toes in your face. You have no idea. But I'm just saying, like there's weird things out there. And karaoke and Diet Dr. Pepper are not those things.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, perfect. Go on.
Oh, I just want to say the weird thing that I do on dates, and guys always look at me crazy, is I like to coupon.
You like to coupon?
Yeah.
And they're like, I just did a whole video on Groupon. That's amazing.
Oh my God. I'm going to watch. I love couponing and I love my cat. So I always say I'm a modern day cat lady couponer, and they think I'm weird as hell. But I'm like, well, when we go on a date, you're going to ask me if I have coupons. So
yeah, exactly. Like, stop finding it so weird. Yeah. It's
helping you really. So
exactly. Yeah. I think that it's a good thing. But that's the thing. You're not afraid to share.
I don't give a damn.
That about you. Because if a guy's like, cheapo, like, I don't even know the negatives that could be associated. I mean, I can totally get the cat negative, but like the coupon negative, I don't understand. I think that's a positive. A girl who's is frugal, responsible, I think that's always a plus.
Well, it's like a hobby for me, you know?
Yeah.
And I said, isn't it better than me going doing drugs? You know?
Exactly. And apparently for a lot of other people, these websites are huge for couponing. So you're not alone. Yep. Anyway, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back with Justin and we're going to answer questions from other people who need to be overanalyzed. All right, we'll be back after this.
Playboy Radio's Music Spotlight.
Hey, this is Brian Head Welch from the band Korn, and you're listening to Playboy Radio.
So back to Korn. You guys must have just went all out crazy. What was the craziest thing that happened to you guys on tour?
Oh, I mean, I don't even know where to begin. It was like we would just party and party and party. I mean, there was all kinds of nights that we were just up all night. There would be one of our friends was a dentist. And he'd bring us nitrous, just suck on nitrous all night long.
Wow.
I remember we were partying one night and this guy was there and he was like, oh, I got the best coat. It's like the cleanest coke ever and ecstasy. Mm-hmm. And you can't find this stuff. And I was like, oh, where'd you get it? He goes, well, I'm a surgeon. And so I have, and whatever he said.
Yeah.
And so he lined out his stuff for me and I started snorting it and I took ecstasy and he goes, what time is it? And I was like 3:30. He goes, oh, I gotta be at the ER. At 9. And
that's
I was
insane.
Like, that's what I said.
That's crazy.
And I was a rock star. And, yeah. I was like, dude, that's irresponsible, you know?
Good for you, because that is.
It's crazy.
I feel sorry for the patient.
That's what I said. Man, I hope to hell I don't have to go into your ER.
You're like, can I have your card? Yeah, I'm going to remember never to go to this guy.
It was scary, you know? And so that's how dark it got. It was like we had doctors that were just writing us like...
Catch Music Spotlight with Trisha Cruz right here on Playboy Radio.
Want advice and step-by-step instructions on how to get the girl sent right into your mailbox every single day? Then sign up for your free Wing Girl Method newsletter at winggirlmethod.com/advice. When you sign up, you'll also get a free copy of my best-selling book, 10 Devastating Mistakes Men Make with Women and How to Avoid Them. Go to winggirlmethod.com/advice and sign up now.
Thanks for listening to Playboy Radio. You want to hear more? Catch us on TuneIn.com/Playboy. We promise you won't be disappointed.
Thanks for listening to PlayboyRadio.com. Now, back to the show.
Yes, YouTubers, feel free to, like, Facebook, whatever you want to do to promote my show.
I have a girl.
Please do it.
Oh,
we're on.
I'm sorry, I thought we were still on break.
No.
Oh, okay. I'll tell you later.
When my headphones are on, that means it's on.
Okay. Got it.
I was just saying.
Secrets.
I was just saying, the fact that Bumble has the women picks the guy, like, you picked me, girl.
Yeah.
Like, you should be nervous around me. You're the one who wanted this.
Yeah, absolutely.
For whatever, you
actually,
know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's a little different than my experience with online dating, where it was pretty much like 80% me reaching out. Maybe it was a couple of times that women did, and if they did, it usually ended up being weird. I was like, what's wrong with you that you wanted to meet me and approach me first? But I think that's Bumble. I'd be like super confident. I was like,
yeah,
you chose this.
Yeah, you chose this. Now you're getting it.
Yeah. You saw this on Amazon Prime and you were like, I want that free 2-day delivery.
Yeah, exactly. And now I want to return it.
Yep.
We were talking about improv classes off air during the break. And I think that would be fantastic for you. And Jason was explaining that. And I'll say the same thing too. Improv unlocked me. I because it lets you, like, it's trial and error in a safe space where
everybody's weird.
Everybody's weird.
Everybody's weird.
You're
Everyone's
encouraged
awkward.
To spit stuff out of your mouth. Yeah. It, like, helps you create endless conversation. It's where you can develop your wit. It just is this safe space to fuck up and come up with interesting conversation. And just, like, I think for you, I think you need that evidence and that experience that what you're saying isn't wrong. To build up your confidence so that you can move forward being more comfortable with who you are. I think that would be a really great resource for you. And I know that you said you have a new job and you're absorbing all this new information you're wiped after. This will help you not be wiped because it actually energizes you going to a class like this. And it can help you with your interactions at work. It can make things like friendships blossom a lot faster because you can have better conversation. You're not being so filtered. You're sharing cool things that you're doing. You can try it out in the office space. So,
well, companies hire improv. I mean, I've been hired to go to companies.
Oh, really?
And do improv, like team building exercises and stuff.
Why
don't
you encourage your company to do
that?
So,
like, that's, you know, it's goes hand in hand.
Yeah, absolutely. It makes for better connections with people and a better work environment. So, I highly encourage you to do that.
Okay. I will.
Okay. Good. All right.
Enjoy it, too. It's a lot of fun.
Okay. So, here is a question from Taiwana. Hi, I'm enjoying your book so far, and I love the focus of me. I need to be reminded of who I am and what I have to offer, but here's my question. I've been dating my boyfriend for 13 months. It has been great until a couple of months ago. I noticed these changes and tried to talk about them. He finally told me he just felt smothered and needed space, so I gave him that. Well, 2 weeks later, I find out he had a girl spend the night, New Year's Day night, and spent the next day with her. I was really upset with him because he didn't say he wanted to break up and date. He just wanted space. Now, the next day when I called him out, he claims he loves me, doesn't want to lose me, and wants me back. He says they didn't have sex, but she slept in our bed and they just talked. Do you believe that? How do I forgive and forget and move on from here? Should I take him back? How can he decide so fast to leave and so fast to come back to me? Please help, Taiwana. What do you think?
I mean, the fact that she's asking the question, she knows the answer, right? This is, I mean, it's really rhetorical. You know what the reality is. You're just kind of asking, I think, for kind of reinforcement. This is my experience in this exact situation, being a guy, being very, very selfish. And I've done this to him because it's just like I wanted something new, or I did felt smothered, and or some other girl was like, oh, my God, I can't. This girl's just hot. She's talking to me. Like, how serious is this relationship? Is it worth risking? Sure it is. And then when I got what I wanted, the girl slept over. We did it. The mystery is gone of that. Now I want this girl that is kind of like I like hanging around with is kind of like the safe bet. You know what I mean? So it's kind of want you want the best of both worlds. And it's a guy's instinct to protect themselves, lie, whatever it takes to survive and get what you want is what the guy's doing. No guy goes on a break from a girl and then has another girl sleep over in a bed so they can talk. That doesn't make – say it out loud. It doesn't make any sense because it's science fiction. Right. and – but the thing is he probably – the excuse he probably made is like, well, we're on a – the girl's probably like, yo, what's up with your girl? I don't know why they talk like this. But – and then he was like, oh, no, no, we're either – we broke up. But his mind is like, well, technically my conscience is clear because we were on a break. So I did it. I got what I wanted out of my system. It's like going to a job and being like, you know what? I quit. I can find another job out there. You go for another job for a day, and you're like, oh, this kind of stunk. Hey, what? That? No, no, I didn't quit. Come on. It's like that Seinfeld episode where George goes, he's like, oh, I didn't really quit. Like, you thought that was real? When you know, when you got what you wanted to just come back. And that's the situation here.
Okay. Well, I want to hear what Justin has to say.
Obviously, she does know the answer. And
what is the answer then?
Well, that he's you know, a cheating dog and he's never going to change his ways.
Is that what the answer is?
To me, that's a pretty, pretty obvious thing that, you know, first opportunity and he's got a, you know, girl hanging out with him in his bed or in their bed.
Oh, that's even worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So what should she do?
Definitely.
Break up with him?
Definitely not go back. Okay. You know.
But it's 13 whole months of a relationship.
I mean, it's really serious.
It's 13 months. We do 13 months, you know what I mean? Like sand on my head. You know what I mean? I've had things on the side for longer than 13 months back in the day when I was a bad person. Right. You know what I mean? Like 13 months is nothing.
Okay.
So trust me, it's not. Is there any kids? Like if you have kids, maybe that's a problem or you're married, but dating.
It sounds like a pretty young relationship. I was editing. A lot of it wasn't like proper English either. So there's like youth attached to this question.
Don't sweat it, girl.
What do you think, Sarah?
I don't know. I mean, I've been in situations where I kept trying to justify it because I felt like there's nobody else. It's a person for me. No one's better. And then it's for really. I understand where she's coming from. She's going to be in denial about it.
He was with somebody else. He wants to be with me now. It's right.
Yeah, and you don't want to admit that it's gonna. It can happen again. But I mean, you kind of have to find out where are the holes in the situation. Like, where are they lacking? Where are they not connecting anymore?
Yeah, that's what I think.
It's all communication. Yeah. But I've been in situations where a guy's like, I don't want to put a label on it, but we're going to be just you and I, nobody else, which doesn't really make any sense. But that was just his way of justifying him dating other women. And then I come back and say, well, we weren't technically together. We are. We are together. Like the label or not, like our situation, our agreement shows that we're together. So, I mean, if she went and did the same thing to him, you know, he wouldn't tolerate it, I'm sure.
Right. So what do you think?
Is this our bed? Are they living together?
I think it sounds like. I mean, if it's our bed,
That's really bad.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah. Well, there's. I agree with
it's
you.
It's been 13 whole months.
Yeah.
I know. We keep forgetting that.
I know. So it's an intense relationship, but it is. On the flip side, it is 13 months, and they are sharing a bed, so that is kind of an intense relationship. Because then she's like homeless afterwards if they break up. So I agree with everything that you guys are saying. He doesn't really sound like a wonderful, respectful guy if he can have another woman in his bed. But there's always circumstance and there's always more to the story. Right. And there's communication that wasn't had before any of this smothering conversation was happening. And what I say to Tawana, if this is somebody that you do want to invest in and everything else is wonderful and perfect, but you're having like a rough patch right now, I would say that you have to let this guy know that you were extremely hurt by what he did. And then you have to talk about what a relationship would look like with you moving forward, and that there, you know, you need to know if you're being smothering, and he needs to communicate that to you. And both of you need to communicate about what you need from the other person. If that conversation can't be had, and he can't really earn back your trust, which I think he needs to do for a bit. I think you need to take a little bit of a break before jumping back into your bed together. I think that that shows you a lot if he's not able to like slow things down and just sort of take time to communicate and be respectful and mature. That's what I think. I get like three stares at me.
No, I totally agree. He has to also be willing to deal with the consequences of his actions.
Yeah. 'Cause
a lot of guys are like, well, I told you, you know, so I did my part. I admitted to it. I'm a man. I admitted to it. But that's not it. You also have to answer the girl's questions. You have to deal with the hurt. You have to help her heal again.
Yeah. I don't think that situation means a necessary breakup. I don't think it has to mean
that. I agree. I mean, after 13 months, I mean, I don't know if you guys think that's a... I'm a little bit of a commitment phobe, so that's a little long for me. So I wouldn't be one and done, but I would definitely...
Especially if you didn't sleep. I don't know. I need more information about this, about like how you guys are as partners. But I would say that this doesn't have to be done, but there's work to be done between the two of you if you want to continue
your relationship.
Yeah. Because if he can't just act out and say, you're smothering me, and then go like sleep in a bed with somebody every single time that he's like not happy in the relationship, there needs to be more communication between the two of you.
Exactly.
Those are my thoughts. Okay. This is a question from Tyreek. When I was living in Chicago in 2009, I worked for a marketing and sales company for about 2 weeks. I was very energetic and confident and was making a lot of friends. In 2 weeks, I ended up developing a crush on a manager who was about my age. On my last day of employment, I talked to her over the phone and said I wanted to get to know her more and see who she is and what she's all about. She said that she would talk to me the next day. Next day, we talked over the phone and she told me that if it's like a date, then she does not do office dates. I live and work in Phoenix now, and for the past couple of weeks, I started thinking about her. I searched for her name on Facebook and saw her profile. She still lives in Chicago. I'm not sure if she's still married. Oh, she was married before. Married or not. I'm in Chicago this weekend visiting family, but still constantly thinking about her. Do you think I should reach out to her? Thanks, Tyreek. Tyreek.
Definitely not.
Okay. I agree. I'm like, what's the point? But
there is no point. But that's the thing. Here's the thing. There absolutely is no point on paper, but also kind of like, why not? I don't know. I mean, it takes very little effort for you to like, if you looked up on Facebook and you hit up on Facebook or whatever, like, it's a very safe place to be. Also, it's like you moved already and she wasn't interested. I mean, like there's other opportunities you should be kind of seeking out first.
Yeah. Focus on Phoenix.
Yeah. And it, honestly, if a girl was like, at least I'm not interested. Like, this is what she's saying. I wouldn't. That doesn't make me want her more. You know what I mean? That isn't a challenge. You're not going to leave your husband for me? This is worth it. You know, there has been times where I've gone on online dates and the girl was just not feeling me. I wasn't probably feeling it either. And I was like, okay, it didn't work out. And eventually they would hit me up later on like Facebook. Hey, how's it going? I think probably went on a bunch of dates, realized like that guy wasn't so bad. I'm not.
Yeah, you're the best of the bunch.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't say that much about me, but I was like, oh, okay. And then I end up going out anyway. So I'm like, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I want a free meal.
Oh, I ran out of that first date. So we got that first date out of the way. And, right. You know what
maybe
I mean?
Maybe we'll perform better the second
time.
Sure.
So, but it's just like, you want to go for it? Sure, but how much can you possibly even do, like, being that far away?
I just think it's a waste of time.
An absolute waste of time. But I do waste of time all day, every day.
Yes.
If you're
constantly going to be questioning, you're like, should I reach out to her? Then yeah, just do it. And don't expect anything back, because most likely she's not going to write you back until after you've been in Chicago. And she's going to write, oh, you were here. Sorry, I missed you. Hope you had a good time. Like, that's most likely the response that you're going to get. And if you do get a response saying, oh, great to hear you're in town, most likely she's going to say that she's
not
available. Yeah, exactly. Like, come on.
Oh, it's even worse.
Yeah.
I would say
hit her up on LinkedIn.
What?
I don't know.
It's
a wild card.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, it shows you're professional.
Yes.
You have a LinkedIn account.
Oh, yeah.
This guy's got
money. Business, baby.
That's what I'm thinking. Exactly. Okay. Hey, so I'm dealing with a problem of a different sort lately. When a woman throws herself at you sexually and it happens to be a woman you want to maintain a good relationship, coworker is a good example, how do you reject her when she lays her desire bare at your feet? Specifically, is there a way to do this without damaging her self-esteem or making her feel like you find her attractive? I know many men with the same fear because lately the number of women who lash out over this seems to be increasing. I've bought every one of Marnie's products, and that's why I'm having this problem. I just added this in right. That's not really true. Okay. Either a new video or an email response are welcome. or answering on your podcast. Thank you. P.S. Your videos are great for when my younger brother has questions on how to act, when I really am not sure what I'm doing right enough to give advice. Ha 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 ha. Okay. So he's basically saying, like, what does he do with all this pussy that's being thrown at him?
Translation, the woman at work, he didn't find her attractive. It wasn't he was worried about the friend. Oh, I'm so worried about this. Again, like, wasn't – like, she was like, oh, I don't think you're hot. But how do I let her down? Because we're – oh, you know, if we weren't office mates or whatever, I would do this. If she was hot and he was into it, he would make it – it would happen.
Right, but he's not into it. So how does he do it without crushing her? What is the polite?
I thought he was making it kind of seem like, oh, some girl threw her desires at his feet, which is like anyone who talks like that, phrase. Like this dude can't be cool,
right?
But
or it's in his head, right?
A lot, yeah. I think it's a lot of it's what people are just like watching TV and then just like
that happened
emails.
To me.
Yeah, it's like
this. No, that happened to Ben Affleck.
Yes,
relax.
I just think that I don't know.
Well, what do you think, Sarah? Because you're the girl. Yeah. So if you really liked a guy, what would – and you're throwing your desire at his feet, what would be the best way for him to let you down?
Well, if it was reverse, what I usually do is act dumb. So by that, I mean just, oh, you're so funny. Oh, haha. You know, because you don't want to, like, make any tension or burn any bridges. But you basically just act very coy about it, like you're just not getting the message. Okay. You know, and hopefully – well, when I've done that, hopefully – usually they kind of just – figure it out and stop trying. I don't know about,
like, I'm picturing a woman desires. Like seducing him and like locking his office door and like taking off her shirt. Like that's what I
well
picture
I guess
desire
he,
at your feet.
I guess he
thrown.
Doesn't
that's
have
funny.
Any choice. I think he's just gonna have to. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know.
He's gotta fuck her.
Yeah,
that's what he's gotta do.
Yeah,
man,
take
up
him for his team.
Man up and do it. No, but look, what is the respectful way to say like? Like, I think you're an amazing woman. I have 5 guys that I want to hook you up with. I'm just not feeling that vibe with you.
That would be the worst thing to hear.
I'm joking. Like, what is the better?
If she straight up like said, "Hey, I want to hook up with you. I want to date you," whatever, then he can say, "No, I'm not interested," or whatever, and you know he'd be polite about it. But if she just acted a certain way and then he says, "Hey, by the way, I'm not interested," she can easily be like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa!
I wasn't interested either. I have a husband and 2 kids."
Exactly, exactly.
But it was late. It was bared at his feet.
Yes, it was.
The desire was
I've never...
like, just like all over his toes. Everywhere. It was horrible. Well, I would say that if she's coming on to you that strong, be a man of integrity and just be honest with her and just say, like, I think you're wonderful. I don't see you that way, but I love the friendship that we have. And the truth is that her emotions on the other end are her responsibility. You're not being a dick, you're being honest and you're being careful not to hurt her feelings, but you're being clear with how you feel. And if she becomes an emotional wreck afterwards, that's on her.
Yeah, and I think even, I mean, I don't really endorse lying, but maybe even just saying, hey, I'm still interested. I don't know how close of friends or whatever they are, but, you know, I am seeing somebody, I am interested in someone else, just to, like, ease it up a little bit. I mean, I do that all the time when someone asks me for my number and I don't want to give it to them. I'm sorry, I have a boyfriend.
Yeah, well,
you know?
Yes, so. For sure. What do you think, Justin?
Well, I'm just upset that Sarah, you know, lied to me, you know, 10 minutes ago.
Exactly. She's endorsing lying. But what
white
do you
lying.
Well, definitely that's going to be the, if there's a personal relationship at work that they have to, that he has to maintain, then, you know, saying, well, yeah, but I've been seeing, you know, this person, or talk about a past experience where, you know, well, I dated Sarah from accounting and, you know, now she hates me. And every time I walk down to accounting, there's darts thrown at me.
Right.
Or some, you know, some sort of thing to, you know, be like, hey, we can't do this.
Yeah. I'm not into it. But if she's like, who cares? It's different between us. Like,
she's
just,
like, I'll quit.
Then
yeah,
I'll quit.
Just to be with you.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm just an assistant.
I usually just use the phrase, I don't shit where I eat.
Yeah. Okay.
I shit where I eat. I just eat and shit all in the same spot. Yeah,
exactly.
I don't even care.
Like, I don't care where my
don't
shit
care.
Is. I will take it all. Okay, I think we gave a good answer to this person. So hopefully you're not consumed with desire at your feet anymore. Hi, I've been watching your videos for a while, but I'm having problems. I live in Singapore, and Singaporean Chinese girls are very cliquish. Like they stay in their clique, which is usually an all-girl group and do not really talk to guys. They have been in a single-sex school for 4 years, but when they go to college, it's co-ed. However, after college orientation, the four girls I'm aiming for have not made any new guy friends, and they just stick in their clique together. Maybe they're lesbians. When I talk to them in real life, they are cute. They are quite awkward, but when I text them sometimes, they are flirty with the emoticons going back and forth. So do I count them as flirtatious or not? And also, we are in the best college in Singapore, so they are quite hardworking and studious. Please help me. Thank you. I am not sure how to get close with one particular girl I like within the clique. We all do fencing, and I do help them out during training, but besides teaching them techniques, they don't really talk to me personally, so I don't know how to get to know them better. Could you kindly help me? I would appreciate it if you could reply to this personally or answer on your podcast, or we can talk on Skype, or you can answer on Facebook. But if you're unable to do so and you're going to make a video, which will have my answer to my questions, let me know. Dervish.
Well, I think it's important to understand that these girls are a product of their environment. So okay. I say that because I am Muslim, and although I didn't grow up in Egypt, you know, they don't really mix as much, especially when they're growing up. So I think these girls are curious, and that's why there's a texting going on, but they don't really know anything else.
So in person, like, how does he actually break through that barrier?
It's going to take time. It's going to take time. It's going to take consistency. And I think you're just gonna have to be very, like, you're gonna have to ease your way in. So I would continue to talk and just don't be too aggressive. But just be willing to put the time in it, because this is something these girls or that girl is not used to as well.
Okay.
And so you have to gain her trust.
Okay.
Cause you don't know what she's been taught about men.
How long do you wait for?
I don't know. It depends on how often you're talking, I guess. Maybe.
I mean, if you're fencing with her every single week, like, you're getting to interact with these girls on a regular basis.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying, like, put all your eggs in one basket and just talk to her.
Right.
But don't let
her
know.
Spread the love.
Don't let her know that you're talking to, like, other people either, because she's not going to understand.
Okay.
You know?
No, I like that response. What do you guys think?
Definitely probably a technique of just being himself. And like I was talking about before, or did I talk to you about being the flame?
No.
So maybe. Just, well, the moths, they're all flittering around, and you want to be the flame that the moths are drawn to. And so be that interesting, like you were talking about, be interesting, be them, be himself, and don't chase after them, because they're going to want to run, especially in, you know, that type of environment.
What a weird thing to say. I'm just kidding. I was calling back to him before. No, I thought that was, I think that's a really good, I think that's a really good comment. I think that's a very good suggestion. Like, really own who you are, showcase who you are, talk about what you want to in front of them, and show exactly what we were talking about before. Lead by example. Like, same thing with you, Justin, on your dates. Like,
exactly. That's definitely.
You gotta shake it up. You have to be the one sharing. You have to be the one being loose, touching, asking questions. Like, if that's not happening naturally on the date, like, you gotta lead by example. And that person, as Sarah said, they may not have been brought up to be comfortable with that, but it can slowly become comfortable when they see, oh, okay, this is a new space, but I'm kind of liking it. Makes me feel uncomfortable, but he seems to be okay with it. I'm going to get more comfortable around his type of energy. So I think that was actually a really good comment. I was just making fun of you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next question. Dear Ask Women Podcast, I enjoy listening to your podcast, I have two very interesting questions. How is it possible to start to have an open and honest relationship with more than one woman with the purpose of eventually having two or more girlfriends? How is it possible to start to have an open and honest relationship with more than one woman with the purpose of eventually having two or more girlfriends? So basically, how can he be okay, and how can girls be okay with being in an open relationship?
Well, not all girls are going to go for that, first of all.
Right.
That's first and foremost. So
even there'll be ones that say, no, I'm cool. Like, I'm a cool. No, yeah, that's totally cool, because I want to, you know, I mean, I don't want to seem
uptight.
I want to seem like cool and chill. Yeah. And, you know, it's like, whatever. Yeah, I'm totally down for that, until you realize that that's not, you know what I mean? That's not super realistic. And I think really what you do is you just do it. You go out with one girl and you just do as much as you can. Then you try to go out with another girl and then just see what happens. Like, if there was a guarantee, it's kind of like, how can I have like two cars but only pay for one? I don't know. Like, it's right. Like, of course you want that. That's not a weird thing to want.
Yeah.
Like, how do I have two of something but only put like one of the work in, really?
But he's not saying that.
Yeah.
He's not saying he's going to like ignore one girl and only put effort into one. So we had this asshole on our show a while back who was talking about like, I think he has like 9 girlfriends living in his house or something. I did not have a problem with that at all. Open relationships, totally fine if you're open to that. I just didn't like who he was as a person. But what he did in that communication was he was very open about his beliefs and his lifestyle. Like, I love women. I am a very giving person to women. I enjoy women. I like being very open. But whoever I'm with, whether it be 1 or 2 or 5 or 6 girls, like, when I'm with one person, I'm all about that person. I give to them completely. So if that is your mentality, I even think somebody who may not have been open to an open relationship could be open to that, as long as you live up to those standards right. of what you're talking about. Because for me, I kind of find it interesting. I don't know if I could handle it, but if I found that I was with somebody who was totally present with me and I never felt neglected and I got a lot of attention, maybe I'd be into it. I don't know. Thanks, guys, for being on the show. Justin, thank you for coming back. You're going to email me from now on, and you're going to go take an improv class. I think that'd be really good for you. Sarah and Jason, thank you for coming back on the show. You guys were awesome. You can find them on YouTube. Thank you to everybody who writes in questions for this show. If you want to write in a question, write into Ask at Ask Women Podcast. And new episodes of the Ask Women Podcast come out every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific. You can go to you can go download episodes, or you can subscribe and save time from actually manually downloading every single individual episode. And you guys are awesome, and we will see you guys next week.